Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How does Rich Keefe celebrate a Celtics win?
God. You needed a shower and a cigarette after that play, didn't you?
I lit up a Virginia Slims 120. He's naked the rest of the night.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
As to pass the lob to Rob.
Robert Williams hammers it down to extend the Boston lead. There's Williams once again in the right spot, set up one-on-one with Williams. Blocked by Williams on the perimeter. Oh, to Williams. Terrific dish from the rookie to the big man. Man, ball fake, and Williams still got it. Robert Williams flies in for the rebound just before tip-off. Big finish. Robert Williams.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens is with us. As I saw somebody on Twitter last night put it, when he plays the way he did last night, perhaps it's prime time, Lord.
He's good.
He has looked very good of late. Celtics win their third in a row. Are they out of the woods here? Is everything okay? I mean, a week ago they were battling for the eighth or ninth spot. I think after last night they're, what, in fourth or something?
Back to fourth. Yeah, mm-hmm. Back to fourth. There's three teams in the East with, you know, consistent winning records and kind of running away from everybody else. Then there's a huge logjam of teams right around or right under 500. Celtics now one game over 500, so they are on top of that group. Obviously, you get a huge help. Kawhi Leonard, right before the game, scratched, I guess back spasms or whatever. So one of the best players
certainly
in the league.
Certainly did not hurt your chances.
No, of course not. But you got to take advantage of that. And I think this recent little winning streak, one of the highlights has been Kemba Walker's play. We sort of harped on him. When he returned, he was so inconsistent or at times just bad, you know, shooting a really terrible percentage. You know, Brad Stevens trying to make what I felt like were excuses for him, or at least talk him up in some of these post games, being like, yeah, I know the shot's not falling, but he does a lot of other things. And I'm like, I don't really know what those other things are. Like, you need Kemba Walker to make shots. He needs to be the third scorer. And these last few games, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been struggling so much to shoot that Kemba Walker's had to be sort of their go-to guy, and he was last night, hit a bunch of shots. So that part of it's good to see. Time Lord has been another positive over the last several games. Actually, most of the season, Time Lord's been pretty good. And Tatum and Brown, though, just look like two guys that need a break. And I don't know if they're going to
get one this weekend, do they?
They don't, and they're both in the three-point contest. Not that that's like a lot of extra energy or anything like that, but it just shows you like they're going to be involved in All-Star weekend. Tatum's going to start. Brown's playing in his first game, and you know, it's a limited crowd, but it's his first back in Atlanta where he's from. So those guys just look kind of out of sorts right now, but they've been able to scrape together a few wins, which they were in desperate need of.
Yeah, it's nice to see, though, a couple of the positives that we're looking for as long view, I won't say fixes, but pluses for the team, Dale. Time Lord becoming a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kemba scoring now over 20 points at, what, his last five or six straight? Like, he's legitimately turning into what we either thought we were getting or Kemba from a couple of years ago. Now, obviously, we can't verify that the knees are going to hold up all season long. But he looks terrific. And, you know, when Tatum only puts up 14 and you don't have Brown, you got to face the Clippers. I know they don't get Kawhi before the game, but still, like, that. Okay, they're winning a couple of the – you know what they're doing right now? They're winning – while guys get better, they're winning the games that they should be winning, which is what they didn't do for the last couple of weeks, which is why this tailspin sort of began.
Yeah, you think about it, that was so frustrating about the stretch of losses that they had, where all teams below them in the standings. You're like, you can't be losing big leads to the Pelicans one night, getting blown out by the Hawks the next, losing at the buzzer to the Mavericks. Like, all these teams, it wasn't like you were playing the Nets and the Bucks and the Lakers and the Jazz all the time. You were playing some bad teams. And so, you know, last night's an example where you're at home, you're playing a good Clippers team, but without their best player, you better win that game. And they did. So at least you're right. Maybe there's stuff to clean up on some of those teams. Maybe they'll rest a little bit and come back better than what we saw the first half.
We've talked a little bit about the rule in the NHL where if you skip the game before the All-Star game, if you're an All-Star and you sit out, you are in effect suspended. You have to sit out the game after the All-Star game. Alex Ovechkin has done that. LeBron James sat out for the first time this year. Does not affect his status for the All-Star weekend. Doesn't affect anything. The NBA is smart enough to say, you know what? He plays enough minutes, plays hard enough. He needs to take a rest. I really wish, and the Celtics probably don't think they can afford to do this, but I wish that they could find a way to get a rest for Brown and Tatum, especially because they've got to go to this stupid thing in Atlanta, which is idiotic. I sent you guys the link. Bars in Atlanta
LeBron is playing in the All-Star game, though.
Yes. No, I'm saying it doesn't affect his All-Star. He's going to play.
Because Ovechkin would sit the All-Star game out.
Right, that's and then the get point. Suspended a game, in effect.
Right.
So,
okay.
But the NBA's intelligent. They say, you know what? You need a rest. You go ahead. Now, the whole idea of going to Atlanta is dumb to begin with. As I said, there was an article I sent to you guys. Bars in Atlanta have been given special dispensation to stay open till 4 a.m. this All-Star weekend. There aren't supposed to be fans there. Not supposed to be involved. Can't go to the game. The mayor and everybody said, don't come here. We don't want you here for this. They're going anyway.
They will be there. Yeah. They will be there.
And I would have preferred if Brown and Tatum didn't have to do this. I understand why they want to. I get it. I wish there was a way that, you know, they could put their feet up somewhere and rest a little bit. And you're right. The three-point shooting contest is not a lot of heavy lifting.
It's whatever, but fine. I also just think they should have taken it out of the players' hands. I think telling these young guys that you made the All-Star team, but, you know, it now don't go, or, like, they're not going to go. Of course they're going to go. Tatum starting the All-Star game, it's important to him. Jaylen Brown gets to go home for it. Like, it's important to those guys. And they should have just said, you know what, we're going to name All-Stars this year, and we're not going to do the event.
It's going to be like the Pro Bowl. You're going to get a nice jersey in the mail. Here's your kit, all your stuff that we were going to give you, your goodie bag, but you don't have to go.
You can get your bump up in the contract. You reach the incentive. You'll get your bonus if that was in your contract, Dale.
Yes.
But, yeah, we're going to do this one virtually this year, and they're not going to play it. Recently in Boston, it seems like we've had a little bit of a bad string of luck. Well, I won't say it because recently my two examples are 20 years apart, but 1999, a lot of people think Pedro literally threw his arm out when he struck out five of the six biggest hitters in the last 50 years in the National League in that All-Star game. And last year, Kemba plays a little too much, we think, if I'm not mistaken, right? And then
Kemba and Kyrie, I think, were two examples of guys that were banged up going into the All-Star game. And you're like, all right, well, hopefully they play like 10 minutes and just get out of there and jog up and down the court. They both played pretty hard. I think it affected both of them. And you're like, what was the point of that? Like, it's not helping anybody. So, yeah, I really don't – I don't get it, because I know, again, like you said, Dale, fans can watch it on TV, and it is supposed to be really for the fans, right? Especially kids love All-Star games. You get a chance to see all the best players on the court or the ice or whatever at the same time. But to not have all of the festivities, to kind of shoehorn it into a night, you already know that it's different. You already know that you have to tweak it. Why not just get rid of it altogether? I'm telling you, I thought – not that maybe as many people would watch it, but if you just got a collection of guys to react to old slam dunk contests or to react to old All-Star game moments or something like that, people would have watched it. You have Barkley and Shaq and a few current players talking about what it was like watching Jordan and Sean Kemp. I think it would have been great. I think it, something you could have done, and then try to get the rest of the season going as safely as you can. Not that this was going to happen. Not that there is been a lot of cases of guys getting like this massive outbreak in the NBA, but you're making all of the best players in the league all travel to one place at the same time. You know they're all going to hang out with each other. If one guy later tests positive, and even if the other guys don't test positive, we've already seen guys like Durant and others, Tatum here, although he did test positive, they're going to miss a whole bunch of games, close contacts or whatever. Oh, it's only the 24 best players in basketball all there together. For really, the risk-reward here doesn't seem to be in line.
And let's be honest, probably some family, probably some friends, maybe, you know, for people coming in from out of town for the excitement. So what's the protocol when you come back from the All-Star game? Do you have to quarantine for... Because you couldn't leave the bubble without quarantining for 10 days. You couldn't be Lou Williams and go get some Lou Williams wings at a place.
That place will be open. That place will do well this week.
Oh, that'll be open.
A lot of Lou Williams wings going to sell.
Yeah, I think that they're just going to go bad. Like, they're not going to make any of these guys miss games for this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're just going to be right back in the mix, assuming they pass their tests.
Maybe it's simply a question of who will say yes, because I wondered when I saw it, do Brown and Tatum both belong in the three-point shooting contest?
It's not a great group that's in it, to be honest. Right. It's not like a bunch of sharpshooters. They both take a lot of threes, but so does everybody in the league. Like, I saw that list, and I was like, all right, Curry, Booker, that makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Those other guys launch them. I mean, Tatum, you know, what, his first and second year shot a really, really high percentage. So, I mean, I guess there's been worse guys that have been in it in the past.
I'd rather just watch, like, Chris Middleton, Booker, Dame Lillard, I don't know, and then maybe Luka. Just those four. Just you four guys go out there and just shoot a bunch of threes. That'll be Curry. And Steph, that'll be fine. We don't need Tatum and Brown and whoever
like
Lillard, else.
Damian Lillard, you could have like Buddy Hield, like guys like that.
Yeah.
But
I saw where was it Tatum who said, you know, if they asked me about the slam dunk competition, I probably wouldn't be able to do that. But you know, the 3-point, yeah, fine.
3-point. I mean, it really isn't like that taxing on him. It's really not the end of the world. But I'm guessing that. Neither one are going to say, hey, like, maybe don't play me as much in the game. Like, that's what remains to be seen. Kemba seemed like an obvious one to, hey, maybe kind of chill out a little bit. Like, because Tatum doesn't really have any kind of major injury. He's coming back from COVID, and he just looks like a guy. Like, watch him shoot. It just looks like a guy that needs a break, needs a bit of a bit of a breather right now.
And his team is going to need him in a big old way come second half. Mm-hmm.
So how do you guys feel about they've won three in a row? Certainly looked better, still giving up points to stars on other teams. That is unchanged. Still haven't got Marcus Smart back, although that's not, I hope, too far in the future. Do you feel like they've kind of rounded the curve here and everything's going to be okay?
Yeah. I mean, you have to feel better than you did a week ago. And I think get Marcus Smart back. And I know you guys talked to Jeff Goodman last week. And he was like, you know, give Kemba Walker a little bit more time, get Marcus Smart back, and then you still have a few days until the deadline, which is at the end of this month, and then you can add to the team. I really do feel like the Eastern Conference is open. Like, I don't think it is a case closed, it's Brooklyn, or case closed, it's Philly, or case closed, it's Milwaukee. I think the Celtics can potentially be in the mix. And even with a terrible start to the year, they're sitting there in fourth place. Like, it's not the worst. Like, you can kind of spin it positive a little bit. But, yeah, they're going to need to get some help. They need Smart back healthy and probably a player or two.
Yeah, fourth place after – weren't they just out of the playoffs a couple of days ago? Still early.
Yeah, that's how close it is. Like, a minute ago, they were in ninth place. So they would have been in that little play-in tournament. But, and even still, they are, I think, three games up on the team that's in 10th or 11th. You know, like, the East is still pretty – jumbled together. You have the three teams at the top, and then you have, you know, the Pistons all the way at the bottom, and then it's kind of everybody else not that far apart from each other.
I haven't read this specifically, but it's a fairly safe assumption. Rules are different in the NBA this year. It's not like the guys who aren't in the All-Star game can head to some, you know, tropical island somewhere in the Caribbean for a few days. None of that's allowed. So,
yeah.
I mean, everybody will get their rest, but they'll get it in their house.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything.
They can all go home and watch Ted Lasso and then feel good about themselves.
There you go. That
all
could help.
10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll find out that's what turned around the Celtics season. After the Atlanta game, they all watched Ted Lasso and they haven't lost since.
There you go, Brad. There's one of your moments. There's one of your moments at the Brad Stevens pizza party with a binge watch of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, that
would work. 617-779-7937. Paul's in Westfield. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Great.
It's definitely a breath of fresh air. To see the team come together after the 24-point record loss of the Pelicans, which was the first game I saw.
Yeah.
They went from playing hero ball to spreading the floor. Six players with double digits. Kemba Walker is definitely getting better. Remember, he didn't play at all until the 17th. He had no preseason, and he was coming back with an injury. The Time Lord, really nice last night. 5-for-8 from the line, rebounding, crashing the boards, and most importantly, only one foul in 20 minutes. So at the end of the game, he was there when we needed him, because we have that up and down bit where, you know, at the end of the game, the last 3 minutes, we couldn't score. And Tatum is just waiting to emerge. He's got to get some rest, guys. Because imagine he went 3-for-10 and had 7 points in the first quarter and then didn't score for two quarters and scored 7 points in 2 minutes. When them three pull their heads together and unite as a team, now with the tall man, the big man, Time Lord, back, this is a combination that is going to scare other teams. They're going to look a lot better if they really work as a united, cohesive team and not play hero ball.
I agree completely. I mean, that was a huge problem, and you started to hear people like Mike Gorman absolutely rip
not
Tatum and Brown to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guy who, again, you don't have to go that long ago, he wouldn't trade Tyler Zeller. He loved Jay Crowder. Like, he loved every single player on the team. And then he's putting all the blame on Tatum and Brown. And you can even, when you watch the games, you can still kind of get that tone. Like, just know, next time you watch a Celtics game, know that Mike Gorman probably doesn't love Tatum and Brown. There was a play where somebody, I think it might have been Kemba, kicked it in the corner for an Ogele three. And Mike was like, well, good to see somebody at least throwing it over there. Like, nice to see him get an opportunity to, you know, hit the open man. Like, he gets so mad about the hero ball. Like, I think he's just seen enough of it. And I think the ball movement, there have definitely been games where it's better than others. Tatum and Brown still should take a lot of shots, right? They should take a lot of shots. But the thing is, they should also find a way within the offense to get easier shots and not to settle for these fallaways that Tatum loves all the time. Or there are times where Jaylen Brown, you see like a couple trips up and down the floor, he didn't get a shot. So now Jaylen Brown gets the ball in the wing and you're like, you don't need to do anything. You know he's just going to take it to the basket and shoot it no matter what the defense looks like.
Mike's in Rhode Island. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Is Fitzy there?
No,
he is.
He broke his leg. We had to shoot him.
So, long story short, I was telling the producer, or whoever answered the phone, 2009, Fitzy's NFL draft video. I was the first person he interviewed. This was 12 years ago. I was 17, 16 at the time. Okay. And I told him, I'm from New York, I told him that the Jets were going to trade up and get Sanchez, and he went nuts. And in the video, it's pretty funny. He tells me I'm crazy, tells me I'm wrong, Jets aren't trading up. 12 years later, I'm on vacation in Rhode Island. I turn on sports radio, and I hear Fitzy. I Google it, and it's the same guy. Talk about a small world.
Same guy. This piece of crap.
I remember you. I told you there was no chance they were going to draft up and take the dirty. I stopped myself from saying it because I didn't want to get kicked off the air.
Yep.
I would. I hate to lose my job now after talking to you over a decade ago. I remember that indeed. How do you do, pal? Great to hear from you.
Wow. I'm doing good. 12 years. It's been a long time, but I'm glad to see that you, I guess, found your place on the. Congratulations.
Yep. 3 days a week.
3 days a week. Good for you. And to the Boston stuff you guys were talking about, just a quick thing here. Listen, I might be on an island here, but Jaylen Brown 5 years from now better than Jason Tatum?
You might be right. I still am going to go with Tatum on that, but you're not alone. That's become a growing kind of voice that Brown might be the better player long term.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the early days when there was a legitimate question in this town about Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce. Who was the better player? And you know, it kind of ended.
Then it got kind of out of hand.
Yeah, but then it was kind of one-sided after that. Yeah. But that was a legitimate point of debate early on. It's probably a legitimate point of debate now, but maybe won't be in another year or two, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Tatum was better quicker, you know, because he's younger. He obviously has been in the league one less year, but Tatum, I think, is the better scorer. I know their points per game is very similar, though, so you could definitely make an argument for Brown. I think they both, when they want to be, can be two-way players. I think Jaylen gets a little bit more credit for being a better defensive player, but there are definitely times where Tatum is pretty good defensively. Yeah, it's going to be close. And I know Tatum was the all-NBA player a year ago. He, you know, was an all-star before Brown was, so he sort of has that leg up. But I don't know. There are definitely plenty of nights now. Like, if you just take it game by game, Tatum's not the best player every night.
No.
You know, there are plenty of nights where Jaylen Brown's better. That's true.
617-779-7937. CJ's down in Sandwich. Hey, CJ.
How's it going, guys?
Great. How are you?
Were you in a video with Fitzy 10 years ago?
No, I was not.
Lucky
you. This is the time where Danny Ainge, it's like all in or bust for him. He needs to buy in right now. These Celtics have shown the last few days that they can win, and they need another piece to continue winning and going off in the playoffs. If Danny doesn't make any moves this time of the year, I don't know what to think of him. He needs to go if he doesn't make any moves here. J.J. Redick, Harrison Barnes, somebody. He needs to make a big move.
I'm with you. Make a move. It's open. It's the Eastern Conference is open. The last few years have been so frustrating because he didn't make a move. There was 2 years ago, they probably needed to get rid of somebody. Last year, they needed to add somebody. Didn't do anything. And now this year, you know, J.J. Redick seems to be very reasonable. Harrison Barnes might cost you a little bit more. Who else? I mean, John Collins. I mean, that you could take a big swing like that. Somebody even bigger, potentially, like a Bradley Beal, like something. This team.
Are
needs
you concerned
to add
though that the old adage, you know, takes two to tango? I mean, Danny may want to make a big move, but desperately trying to make a big move, but can't find somebody to dance with him.
Well, there are a lot of reports coming out now that teams don't like dealing with Ainge. Now, I don't know if that is true for 29 other teams or if it's just one or two kind of angry people that are talking to different reporters.
Well,
but,
and the reports are that it goes back to trying to deal Kemba Walker when he was damaged goods. And now, I sort of poo-pooed that at the time because if you're acquiring Kemba Walker, obviously you're going to give him a physical and you're going to make sure that that everything is clear here. You're not just going to take Danny's word for it when you make a deal like that.
But, I mean, go back to when they got Kyrie Irving. You know, Isaiah Thomas was damaged goods. They pushed that trade through. Then Cleveland was like, well, wait a minute. This guy's super hurt. Give us an extra pick. And they were like, all right, fine, here's an extra pick.
Right.
And that's how they got that one done. There is sort of that theory that Danny Ainge has won so many trades. You know, go back to when they first acquired Isaiah Thomas. I think they gave up, like, Marcus Thornton, who they weren't even using, and, like, somebody else, and they got Isaiah Thomas. He's won so many trades pretty dramatically that teams might be a little skeptical of that. But, no, I feel like definitely has to do something. But, Dale, you're right. If we get from now to the deadline and nobody moves, then, all right, those teams apparently weren't willing to trade Beal or Collins or, for some reason, Redick. But if a few of those teams move, because that was always the excuse he had all those years that Paul George was in trade rumors or Jimmy Butler was in trade rumors. And when those guys didn't move, you're like, well, you know, I guess what was Danny supposed to do? So, but between now and then, I would imagine there's going to be a handful of moves in the league.
Well, and what we always do is whenever a move is made for a guy that you'd really like to see in a Celtics uniform, you do the, well, you could have given up X, Y, and Z and done that as if it's a given that the other GM would have accepted that.
No, that's true, but I think we usually find out, like, how in were they, like, what would they have even offered? Were they even talking to the team? Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the Danny can't, I mean, that's his competitive nature, and he had won, some of the trades were such monstrous wins, such, like, borderline fleecings at a point, that you wonder if that just didn't start to catch up to him, like, all right, Danny, you don't have to, like, absolutely win every trade. Every trade doesn't have to be a landslide in your favor. Sometimes you may have to pay a buck and a quarter for a dollar in return because you need that something, but it's a worthy investment. So I hope maybe if that is true that maybe he can get over it in time to make the right kind of deal this year.
And by the way, if Danny Ainge works for me, I want him to feel like he's going to win every trade. If I'm Wick, I don't want Danny saying, well, you know, we're not really getting the best we can get, but, you know, at least I'm getting this guy out of here. I want him the mentality of doing that. But then when push comes to shove, I want it to be okay for Danny to say, all right, look, this is good for both of us. I'm not killing it, but, you know, this is good for both of us. We can make this deal. I always get the sense that he's always pushing for that extra piece, that extra nugget.
Well, so do I. Like,
and then
that's
it
what
dies.
It felt like, that's what it felt like was the case in Indiana. And I think even on a relatable level, we all play fantasy sports, and there's always that guy in your league that just you can't even talk to because he's like, you're three best players for, like, you know, some scrub. And you're like, that's not how it works. Like, you can't do deals like this. And you just – that's why you see some deals happen more – like, there are certain GMs in all sports that sort of have, like, a history of deals that they have made together because they kind of can, you know, work together.
Tony's in Revere. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Yeah, hi. I just want to say, if you guys are buying into the Celtics right now being on a roll, I mean, I got some gold that I found in my backyard I might want to sell to you. it's called Fool's Gold. Last night they beat a team without one of the best players in the world playing. Right. And before that, who have they really beat? Who have they beaten that was really considered a top 16? Three in the East, three in the West. I mean, who have they beaten lately? So, please, don't tell me the Celtics are on a roll. Danny Ainge needs to do his job and get somebody in here that can shoot the basketball. And don't give me Aaron Nesmith, please, because he hasn't played at all. He was a wasted pick, another wasted draft pick by Danny Ainge. 2 years in a row, first-round pick doesn't play at all. That's unbelievable. Danny Ainge should be fired.
Wow.
All right, so the one thing I would say on Nesmith is I'm not ready to write him off after 35 games or whatever it is in the NBA.
A little early, isn't
it? Too strong. Like, do you like Time Lord now? Did you like him his rookie year? Did you like him last year?
Nope.
Like, some of these guys, especially when they're not top 10 or top 5 picks, it might take a couple years. Like, I know it's tough, and I hate to be like, oh, you got to just be patient. Like, that, I understand that that's annoying. But go back and look at Kawhi Leonard, for example. He mentions Kawhi Leonard. Did you love him his first and second year in the league? I bet you didn't. You know, Paul George, who we saw last night, did you love him his first 2 years in the league? I bet you didn't.
It's called fool's gold.
By the way, the idea that this three-game win streak is fool's gold is not necessarily a bad take. It may be. I mean, that's why I asked you guys, are you confident that this is, you know, they're over the hump here? Because I'm not yet.
Oh,
in
no,
that
I don't. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you, like, to say that they're over the hump, like, I mean, I don't know if it's like the title or being a true contender is back on. But as Fitzy mentioned before, they were losing to teams worse than them.
Yes.
So the first thing you need to do is start beating those teams. And so the Clippers, who are a good team, but again, without Kawhi Leonard, as the caller points out, is a team that you have to win. And you did. Washington, like, that was a game. If you lost that game, and they almost did, Beal almost hit that shot at the buzzer, that would have been a bad loss, but you found a way to win. These three home games in a row, you won them all. You can't, like, beggars can't be choosers right now. They needed to win anyway, because they were losing games in every way. They were winning, they were losing blowouts, they were losing close games, they were losing games where they had a lead. Like, they lost every kind of way for a couple of weeks in a row. You'll take any win, but no, I don't know if they're out of the woods just yet.
Adley's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Adley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's interesting hearing all of these callers call in regarding the recent stretch of games and not mention simply Kemba Walker has played better. He's played significantly better. If Kemba Walker is not 1-for-12 shooting threes and is making about 50% of his shots, which he has in recent games, give them a better chance to win. They've won those games. And also, guys like Robert Williams playing better off the bench. When Brad Stevens doesn't have to figure out who to throw out there because Kemba sucks in a game, or like his bench can't make a shot, like Semi Ojeleye, come on, we're not relying on Ojeleye to be a consistent shooter. When he doesn't have to figure out who he can put out there, they're a better team. And the last quick point I want to make is, defensively, I still think they're not playing well. They didn't win yesterday because of defense. They won because Kemba kept making shots.
Look, the defensive issue continues, and we keep talking star players for other teams lighting them up, and it happened again last night. And they didn't even have their big star player who would have lit them up as well.
Oh, 100%. Yep. I think I was looking at it quick. I think Kemba has scored 15 or fewer points 6 times this year, and they've lost all 6 of those games. No surprise. Like, he needs to be in the 20s for sure. Now, they've lost some of those games as well, but he was just a little bit more efficient the last few nights. You know, the caller mentions that 1-for-12. The game in which they had the 24-point lead with 6.5 to go in the third quarter, he's 1-of-12 from 3, 5-of-21 from the field, and you lose in overtime. So that was one where you could point to and say, that isn't going to cut it. And to his credit, he's gotten better. But Jaylen Brown and Tatum have struggled. So it's like, we haven't seen a game yet where all three of them have played well together.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's play a little What If Wednesday, one that will probably drive Keefe crazy. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy and Shime's Time to Trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
Kyrie, how important is it to see number 11 up there one day?
It's quite important. I appreciate that, Scout. I joined him, but I... shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here next year.
Boom! No, so now y'all playing radio. Got it.
Yes, we're playing radio. It's what they pay us to do, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. Last week, Rich wasn't with us when we did a What If Wednesday, and it was a simple question last Wednesday, Rich. What if Russell Wilson had just turned around and handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch?
So many things.
How many things would have changed?
So many. Yeah.
For both organizations. So now the question is, what if Kyrie had done what he said he was going to do and re-signed with the Celtics?
It's a great what if you ask me. I just think that, so last year, again, let's assume he doesn't want to go to the bubble. So you have a team. First of all, you don't have Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker never plays for the Celtics. You have Kyrie Irving. I don't think Jaylen Brown is as good as he is right now. I don't think Jaylen Brown is an all-star with Kyrie Irving. I just think there was too much, like, veteran guys versus young guys on that team. It was, like, the dynamic was so bad. However, Danny Ainge, I think, reportedly wanted him back. He would offer him a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he signed a deal, he'd be here. So he would be your face of the franchise as Tatum is trying to emerge. I guess those two guys did get along better than, say, Brown and Irving. Like, they're always screaming at Brown. I wonder, do they try to work on a deal and get Brown out of here? And do you end up getting – now, you can't sell him as high as you could now. Again, the league wouldn't know he's this good.
Yep.
So you wouldn't be able to get
him. You'd have been selling low and would have regretted the trade. Whatever it was you got in return, you'd say, look, we gave up that guy, and look what we got.
Right, and he's playing really well. So you'd be super committed, money-wise and everything, to Kyrie Irving. Last year, I think, would have been a lost season for you, though, because I don't think he goes to the bubble. So whether he's hurt or not, I don't even know if he would go. He was trying to urge players not to go. All this other stuff. Does he try to get Durant here? Like, what does he do? Like, how does
could
it
you
work?
Have landed Durant if Kyrie Irving was doing the pitching?
Maybe.
Hmm.
Although, don't you think Irving went with Durant to Brooklyn, not Durant went with Irving to Brooklyn? That's how I would kind of spin that. I think Durant was going to go wherever he wanted, and sure, he wanted to play with Irving, but I think he was going to be the sort of the driver in that scenario.
Our Twitter buddy Dice suggested that what you'd have, if he re-signed, mm-hmm. is that you'd have Kyrie, Tatum, and Anthony Davis here right now.
Ooh. Kyrie would have recruited AD, and they would have traded Jaylen, several picks, maybe some other talent for AD. Ooh. Ooh.
I don't know, though, because you don't think Davis would have stayed with LeBron and just signed that huge deal with the Lakers? I don't know. But what I'm telling you, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, I don't think Irving, Brown, and Tatum would have been the trio. If you kept Irving, they would have done some more shuffling. Gordon Hayward, I think, would have left. Gordon Hayward, I think, sort of saw the writing on the wall. He's like, all right, I am not even the third guy anymore. I am gone. I think Hayward's gone. I think Horford's gone. Tatum probably stays, though, I think, because I think Irving likes him. So it'd be guys like Durant and Davis that you'd be talking about. It'd be
you know who I think. You know who I think is gone. Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens, good one.
No extension for Brad. No extension for Brad. He would have probably opted out. So no Hayward, no Kemba. Wow,
it would have been Kyrie.
So different.
It would have been real different. Now maybe even Harden. Like maybe you would have gotten him because the Nets wouldn't be what they are right now. The Nets would look a lot different. And right now, many think they're the favorite in the Eastern Conference, so you have to shake that one off. I think the big one is, I think Brad probably is happy that didn't happen. I think Jaylen Brown's got to be maybe the most happy that didn't happen. His stock has gone up from, you know, the last game that he played with Kyrie Irving to now. I don't think anybody's stock has gone up higher than Jaylen Brown's has.
Hmm.
But are you better now?
See, no, I think because we saw it. Well, actually, before I answer that, I guess it would really depend on
who
if
else
Durant,
comes.
Davis, or Harden, or one of those guys was here. But if Kyrie's your best player, I think we already saw what that looked like. And even though on paper, like, you have the talent to do it, I just don't know if it would have worked. Because he still would have been, in that scenario, your leader. Like, I think now in Brooklyn, it's much more in line with, like, what it was with him in Cleveland. He can still get plenty of shots and do all this stuff, but you have Durant, who has won a couple of titles there with you. You have James Harden, who is a league MVP. I think he respects those guys more than he respected anybody else on the Celtics at any point, coach included.
Does Horford still want out?
Probably.
And that's fine.
Because you remember when Horford left? You know, because when Horford left, remember he sort of made some comments about the chemistry and the locker room,
yep,
and thing like that. And I think he also got paid by Philly before they ended up flipping him away because they knew it was such a bad contract after the fact. So, yeah, I bet he's gone. Yeah, but the big unknown would be who else would Kyrie have recruited? Because once you gave him that deal, you kind of have to do...
Well, it would have been in his best interest to be on the recruiting trail and get that other superstar in here, whether it's Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. Hey, if I get that guy in here, we're going to be that much better.
Or maybe it was Harden. You know, maybe after a year in Houston and now you're – because maybe they can't trade Jaylen Brown, right? Maybe they keep Jaylen Brown, and now Jaylen Brown is a part of the deal to Houston this year to get James Harden. So now you had Irving, Harden, and Tatum. And if they can get along, it's the same thing you have to say about Brooklyn. If they can get along, they'd be the favorite. I'd like them over Milwaukee.
Would fans have turned on him by now?
What would he have done to earn?
Oh, you mean like swishing chakra leads around the building and all? Yes, I think.
I imagine they would have.
He would have done any number of things. First of all, he would have opted out. They'd have been pissed about that.
Yeah, I it would have been a tough guy to root for. Like that happens.
And while he was opted out, he would have been talking about we should just start our own league somewhere.
Yep. Oh yeah, he's apparently already done that.
So we would all be, saging would be a thing now. We would all be just like the same way we do everything that used to do everything Tom Brady would say. Now we'd all have like they would have Celtics logo painted like Native American heritage sticks or walking sticks. They'd be selling in the pro shop, and we'd all be in on that kind of cultural crazy that Kyrie's been doing recently.
Oh, I mean, if you think Mike Gorman hates this team, imagine how much he would hate that team.
I was going to say they would not be very likable. If all of those, Jaylen Brown's gone, Kyrie's here. Now, some other superstar presumably would have been recruited and would be here. I'm not sure how much you'd like this team.
Yeah, I mean, because Kyrie, you think about it, he only played, let's see, two seasons, 127 games for the Celtics. Hmm. He was here for two seasons, and yet he has all those ridiculous quotes about, you know, is the internet real to you? What does government mean to you? Like, you're doing everything for the likes and clicks. Like, he was caught at the All-Star game talking to Kevin Durant about playing together next year somewhere.
Yeah.
And he, like, freaks out. Like, no, I was talking to my friend. What do you know about it? No, we were all correct. We all assumed you were talking about where you're going to play next year.
Because you
were. Believe it or not, you went and played together the very next year. Like, we're not dumb. You were doing it out in the open. And so that all happened in the span of 2 years, like all that stuff with him. Him missing a playoff game with his teammates because he had to get nose surgery that day. Now, I know he was hurt, but remember that whole thing? I tried making excuses then. I'm like, oh, you know, he's not going to really help the team. But that showed you the commitment that he had to the team then.
Keith would be in therapy now, too.
I don't know. What would I do? He's like the best player on your favorite team, and the guy's just an absolute dink. Like, ugh.
I will gladly take the exhaustion of frustration that comes with wondering if this team can get better or reach its potential with Tatum and Brown over the exhaustion that would have come up with keeping up with Kyrie and his many moods and caprices.
100%. Actually, I have the answer. What if Kyrie re-signed?
Yep.
Here's the answer. He would have already demanded a trade to somebody else by now.
That's probably. And you know what? That's probably the most accurate answer.
That's it.
He would have already tried to shoot his way out of town.
He would have found another spot that had another one of his friends. Maybe it's Brooklyn, right? Maybe it's just a delayed trip to Brooklyn. You know, maybe Durant's already there, and maybe now you pull off a deal with them, and you get, you know, Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie and all this other stuff. That's what would have happened. He wouldn't have played out his whole contract anyway.
Yep, that's probably the case. So I think things would be different, Dale, but at the same time, they'd probably be much the same.
So for 2 weeks in a row, our What If Wednesday has basically been – it all worked out for the good.
Yeah, for the Celtics purposes, I think so.
Well, last week,
or for
did.
Boston purposes, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. For New England fans, both of our What If Wednesdays, it worked out better the way it went, not the way it could have or maybe would have happened otherwise.
And that's the way it was.
I'm all good with that. Coming up next, what else you got? We've got a treasure, a true local treasure. Not Dolly Parton, who's a national treasure, worldwide treasure. I'm not going to play her for what else you got, but someone who's almost as near and dear to us. It's coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of stories we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Homeward Bound Fitzy, you might as well kick it off for us.
All right, Dale, you know, every now and again, I like to sort of tag team on my What Else You Got, just not so we can, you know, hip up the show, but rather so we can bring something fresh from a different generation's perspective. And John will usually tell me the latest beef or the latest what's going on with TikTok. So he presented this to me. I'm so confused by the genesis of this, but... this is some incidental Gen Z beef. There was a rap that happened afterwards. This thing picked up about 5.5 million views just on Twitter alone yesterday. John, what is the context of this nonsense again?
So basically, every once in a while, the Gen Zers, like I'm 24, so it's a lot of people like late teens. They kind of faux cancel something on TikTok. They're not really actually doing it. It's more tongue-in-cheek. They did it to Hamilton last year, too. I guess they did it to Eminem. And this one girl was very upset about this, and it's not Lucy, believe it or not.
This is a hard watch.
But
this
it's a really tough listen. So she wrote a rap responding to the Gen Zers, and I apologize for what you are about to hear.
What? Gen Z's trying to what? Cancel Eminem. Gen Z's trying to cancel Eminem? Honey, that's cute. Listen, little kiddies, let me make this quite clear. This man was around even before you were here. So what, you're all mad because the man was a lyricist while all your rappers are mumbling gibberish? No, go ahead and shut your mouth. Better yet, go and sit your acting time out because boy was running laps even before you could walk. Hell, boy was spitting bars even before you could talk. So no, afraid you're null and void, dear. I'm afraid your opinion don't matter here because one day you'll grow up and see how everyone went and forgot about Z.
Is that Lucy?
It's so bad.
It stinks.
It stinks so bad. This is why, you know what? The next time you're not entirely sure if it's a good idea to talk to that Jets fan as you're making an NFL draft video outside of Rockefeller Center because he may call into the show 12 years later, or you want to try to respond to cancel culture on TikTok, just put the phone or the social media down and walk away, kids, okay?
Yeah, just give it a brief thought before you do that.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, Dale,
I got a beef with you, by the way.
I know you do, and this is perfect. So
we're going to have a beef.
It's March, which means, of course, hashtag Dork Madness is back. We have a new tournament this year to crown the best TV character. I would say of all time, but it's definitely skewed more modern. Mm-hmm. I think it's really post mid-80s, let's say. Anybody prior to that didn't make the cut for this year. And a very daunting task to put this together. Just 64 TV characters. So what we did this year was we did four regions to make it a little bit easier on ourselves. We have an HBO region, just characters that are on HBO shows, a comedy region, a drama region, and an animated character region. And Dale was already upset about one of the big snubs.
Because he's got the drama region. And, you know, some of these choices are great. Vic Mackey, Walter White. I've got no beef. How is Jack Bauer not one of the 16 seeds?
Yeah, didn't make the cut.
I don't know if
I never watched 24. Didn't get a big pushback from my co-host Ryan Davey when I said, yeah, how about this for the group? Definitely went a little bit more heavy on the shows that we like Breaking Bad and Friday Night Lights. But maybe in the NIT deal, maybe we'll have to do a side tournament.
Yeah, we need some new girl characters in there, too.
No new girl. Yeah, sorry. No new girl. New girl didn't make it. The 4-1 seeds. And again, you can vote all month long at Dork Podcast on Twitter. The 4-1 seeds were Tony Soprano, Walter White, Homer Simpson, and George Costanza.
Fine seeds.
I think George Costanza's got to be the number one overall seed, right?
No.
I don't know.
Tony Soprano might walk away with this.
I mean, didn't Seinfeld already win your best TV show?
It did. A couple years ago, Seinfeld won best TV show.
Like I said, George Costanza, number one overall seed.
Is Larry on there?
Yes, he is a... 3 seed in the HBO region.
Powerhouse.
Yeah.
Friend of the radio station, Michael Chiklis, may be a bit upset that Vic Mackey's only a 16 seed.
16 seed, I know. People, big fans of The Shield were a little upset with that. But well,
my money's on Mr. Furley.
What else you got?
So I was going back and forth about which of these two clips I was going to play because both are national treasures. Dolly Parton gave $1 million of her own money to the Moderna, to the development of the Moderna vaccine. Got it on camera yesterday and then sang a new version of Jolene to Vaccine. It was great. And I thought she's a national treasure. But then I thought we have a more local national treasure. So last night, Celtics get the win. NBC Sports Boston goes to the postgame show, as they always do. And Abby Chin welcomes in friend of the show and our buddy Kendrick Perkins.
Perk, everything okay at your house where you are? Heard some banging.
Oh, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. What's wrong?
No, I heard some banging. I'm Abby Chin. Here's Brian Scalabrine. We got Big Perk out in Houston.
Hold on, Abby. Listen.
Okay.
I'm dealing with unique circumstances right
tell
now.
Us,
I'm
tell
not
us.
In yeah. my house. I'm not in my house. I've been living in a hotel room for 2 weeks. I got 4 horrible children that's driving me crazy. Two of them, one of them is a set of twins that's 4 years old, by the way. I can't tell them to keep quiet enough. I mean, they literally are in another room slamming doors, yelling. I just don't know what else to do, Ab. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
These kids won't listen to Kendrick Perkins.
I have 4 horrible children.
Horrible children.
Oh, God.
So once in a while, my daughter is living here for a while, and her dog is here. And every once in a while, I'll be down here doing the show with you guys, and like UPS will come to the door, and the dog will start barking.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife gets all upset. She says, could they hear that on the radio? Could you hear the dog? And I don't think you can, but...
I haven't heard him.
My perspective, yes, you can.
Can you? Once in a while? Okay.
Yeah, that might be my dog.
Could be.
That but might be my son.
But I don't consider the dog a horrible dog because he does what dogs do.
Right.
You got little kids. Kids do what kids do. That does not make them horrible children.
Perk was upset, though. I don't blame him. He was mad. Trying to do a show from a hotel room, dealing with all that stuff down in Houston.
Been in a hotel room for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. Look, see, Fitzy's
and then
got
some,
a
and
not
the next
so
thing you know,
child,
you start
right?
talking about horrible children,
and they pop
and the 8-year-old appears out of nowhere.
Well, we haven't got any issues with him either, so. Fitzy, safe travels back. Bring
you,
the little guy home with you, too. I mean, just
all right,
for his well. Sake. We'll be back tomorrow. Andy Hart will be with us. OMF is coming up next, top of the hour, 2 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Craichley. That's all, folks.